I wished I knew where I was going. I did write some stuff up here, but we will see where this goes. Between the board, this bag, and a few guys and gals that's going to help me in a little bit play Red Rover, we're going to try to make something out of all of this. Amen? And there's no rabbit, Brian, in the bag. There ain't no leaven in there either. Y'all ought to ask Brian about his week this week. No. Amen. Ministering, praise the Father, eating a hamburger. Forgot all about it. Just caught up. Anyway, that is awesome. But you know what? That's what it's all about. It's all about when you think you get... We've all done it, and, you know, we just sit up here, and I tell you what, like I said, you know, me and Dirk were sitting there at that time. We was at Hokies, and we were sitting there guarding it. We spotted the devil at the table and sit there and ate it anyway. Sit there and got caught up in the spiritual life of things, and just because it gets so close, we should have chunked it to the other table. And just that's what it talks about, flee temptation. We should have done that toss a burger. We should have slung that thing to the other table. What I want to do today is all, before we went to Israel, you know, some of the teachings there, Terry, you know, Josh, when we were gone, Steve, and then Douglas last week, all of these teachings has just been, to me, off the chart. You know, Passover, being together was off the chart, way the Spirit moved and how all of that happened. And like I said, guys, you just can't make this stuff up. You know, you just can't make this stuff up. Things that's happened in different people's lives, the testimonies, which are innumerable. I mean, we would have to have two or three services just for testimonies of what people has told me that's happened in their lives, you know, and how the Father is just showing them things. But that's what he does in these times and seasons, if we'll just slow down, simply do what he asks us to do, and not try to create some spiritual atmosphere, but allow him to just walk in his ways and then allow him to pour his Spirit on us and then illuminate all around us what's going on. So today I was looking at, because I was thinking, you know, when we were at Passover, you know, the four cups. The last cup was the cup of praise, the cup of completion, the cup of hope. And Douglas spurred something in my heart because he was talking about how they had the blood. They had the blood over the doorpost. You're going to see this in a minute, too, in Joshua. They had the blood, and they stayed in their house. And then after the death angel passed and all that, and it was time to go, they came out of the house. But it wasn't really what? It wasn't even 7 days' journey, and then they was doubting. And he talked about doubt last week. And that is really a lot of times what we run into. It's one thing when somebody comes to us and we're praying for them, we have all the faith in the world. But when it's us going through the trial, it's not quite so, you know what I'm saying? And that just seems to be the way it is. So I was looking at that word hope, the word hope. And then so right here, you may not can see it. You may want to take a picture of it later. You can research it. There's different words for the word hope. One of the words here, 8615, is tikvah. It's tikvah. I said, okay, tikvah means hope. And I looked it up, but in the definition, it said cord, C-O-R-D. It said cord. And then it said hope. Then it said expectation. And I said, what is hope? Why did it have the word cord there? I didn't understand it. And then I looked up another word, and the word was mikvah. I'm thinking mikvah. I'm thinking baptism. I'm thinking, but mikvah, the first, it says linen yarn, hope, gathering together. That's what a mikveh is. A mikveh is a place that you gather water into. And I thought, now we got tikvah and we got mikveh. Where are we going, bah? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what is this deal? I'm looking up the word hope, but why is this cord and linen yarn? Why are these the first things that's popping up while I was studying in the Hebrew? And then it says it comes from a root word, and I think this word is kava. It means to wait, look, gather, expect. So I'm seeing this word, and then it says this, to bind together, perhaps by twisting. And I said, well, how do you make a cord? What is a cord? It's just not a piece of... A cord, or a rope, or ropes, or cords that are what? Twisted together around something to make it a cord. So then it started growing. So what I want to do is with this concept in mind, I want to go to, and you know this, you can go to Ecclesiastes 4. I'm going to read Proverbs, but y'all go to Ecclesiastes. Because y'all know the ones in Proverbs. In Proverbs, it says this. And I have up here the word hope and vision. Because, see, whenever the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and like Tammy made something that was really important, when they came out of Egypt, it said that their bread didn't have time to rise. So this is why we're at unleavened time, Feast of Unleavened Bread, because we're remembering, we're memorializing, we're getting the sin out. But what was probably the most of the things that they went to, they said they went to the Egyptians and they asked them for stuff. What was the stuff that most of them asked for? Gold and silver and all the good things you can eat. But what do they do? They're asking for all of the riches. Now, the riches will be used later to build the tabernacle, no doubt. But just think about it. It did announce that all of the gold and silver and all the things, what would you think you would need the most on a journey? Food and water. Because they don't go very far, then they're thirsty. But isn't it about like us to grab the things that we think are more important, the gold and the silver, rather than bringing the things that's going to sustain life, like food and water, and hauling it out? Because the Father, at any time, Yeshua, he knew that Yeshua, when he was born, was going to take a journey to Egypt. Did he not? So how does he fund that trip? He brings wise men on a journey following a star, bringing what? Gold, silver, frankincense, myrrh, jewels. The Father knows how to fund a trip if he wants you to take one. Amen? So I thought about this, that this is what the children of Israel grab, because I don't know if they thought there were convenience stores along the way, that they could just buy what they needed to do if there were a few quick stops whenever the camels could pull in and get some water. I don't know what they were thinking. But the thing about it is, They had a mindset of slavery. We're no different. We had a mindset when we come out of sin of slavery. And a lot of times what we do is we grab what's flashy because we don't really know what we need on this journey. But this is where they were at when they were coming out. And this is, I believe, the reason why we retell the story over and over and over again is for us to understand we're no different than they were. Because when we started our believing walk as a believer in Yeshua, we made a lot of the same mistakes that they made. Amen? This is why he wants us to retell this story, because guess what? Now look at all of the young ones that are in here. Maybe they can somehow or another hopefully bypass the mistakes that I made. Amen? Whenever I was taught, borrow all the money in the world so you can have good credit. Remember that? That's what we were taught. When I come out of high school, the thing was is having good credit. It was nothing to do with being out of debt. It was having good credit. And, buddy, I had some good numbers, and I was sweating to keep those good numbers up there, trying to pay a bill and paying people interest and interest and interest. But we've learned that a borrower is what? In slavery to the lender. That was a big lie from the enemy. It's like the serpent. Hath Yahweh really said, if you borrow money, you will? Yes, he did. He knows what he's talking about. Teaching the next generation. I'm going to read Proverbs because you know this one. It says, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraints, or they are discouraged. But blessed is he who keeps the commandments, who keeps the Torah. Listen to this. By mere words, a servant is not disciplined. Understand this. For those that in here has ever been in law enforcement and all of this, school teachers who's been able to tell your students, listen, parents who tell your children who are just all-knowing, it says this, by mere words, a servant is not disciplined. For though he understands, in other words, he understands what you're saying, he will not respond. That's what verse 19 says. Even though you tell him and he understands, he's not responding. Because what? Words without actions don't mean anything. It takes action. Because if children, if you tell them not to do something and they do it anyway, and they break something, and if you go right back out and buy them something that they just broke because they were disobedient, did they learn anything? Absolutely not. Because one day, you're not going to be there. You will always be there as their parent, but when they get married, are you going to have all your sons and daughters and all their children move in with you? Mm-mm. It doesn't work that way. So what we do is it's our responsibility as parents. This is what the Father's saying. It's his responsibility to teach us that even when we know by the word that comes out and we disobey it, guess what? If we don't put it into action, he's going to discipline us so that we can learn. Now let's go to Ecclesiastes 4, 9, 10, 11, and 12. It says this, because now we're back at this thing about this cord deal. It says this, and this is something that the Father has ministered to me in my life since the very beginning of being a pastor. It's about community. Now, I ministered it not understanding what I was saying. But the Father has revealed it stronger and stronger over the years. But he says this, two are better than what? One, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and he has not another to lift him up. Talks about two being better than one. Two being better than one. You think you can go it alone? Get after it. But guess what? When you fall, you have nobody there to help you up. It says again, if two lie together, verse 11, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one of his who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now we've heard that scripture many times. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now what I got in here is I just got some, y'all know what that is. We got some rope, and let me get this rope out. I had to cut this rope. So what I did was is we call that twine, I guess. I don't know. What do we call that at Frankie's? Twine? Okay. Frankie didn't know he's going to make it on tape, did he? Well, anyway, within this right here, we string off things, and this is pretty strong stuff, but you can break it if you pull it in all of this long enough. But in this right here, there's three strands, yarn, that make up this, and I thought, so now when I was going through all of this, I was like, if there's a rabbit comes out of here, it ain't my fault. That'll be the Wallies. They got all the rabbits. So what happened is here is this, and there's three that make this up. And I mean, it's strong. And then I said, well, what if I unwind this and just get one out of here? And then I said, is there just one? But there's not just one. There's many in here. I was trying to pull all of this apart, so there's never one. Well, let me back up. That's a lie. There's one somewhere. There is a beginning. But how do you get to that one? there's a host of little bitty individually hairs that make up this, that make up this. And the more you put together, what happens? The stronger it gets. I said, wow, that's awesome. That's profound for a country boy. So then I got this piece of rope. This one has seven around this one. But when I was digging in it, I found something that I didn't know was there. And there's a cord. There's a cord in the middle. And the cord has it wrapped around. So guess what? This cord being Yeshua, us wrapping around him as individuals, but if you took each one of these strands loose and you left them by themselves, then this would be an awful flimsy. It would be useless. The only way that makes this functional is that this is wrapped tightly. Hope was bound together, perhaps by twisting. We're bound together. The only way that we can be where we need to be is we have to be twisted together. And you know what? That's scary. Because we sometimes don't like who we're twisted by. It's okay if I'm the one that's next to the one that's in. In other words, the two on the outside of me is twisted. And I can gel, I'm gel with them, I'm good. But what happens if the one next to you, I don't want to be next to that strand. Put that strand over there by Sandra. You know what I'm saying? I think them, and Sandra's an activist, she'll straighten them out and put them over there by her. But just, I don't want to, if I'm going to be a rope, if I'm going to be a cord, I want to be comfortable. If I want to be a strand, I want to be comfortable strand. Amen. But the thing about it is he places us where he wants to, because you know what? He's the one that makes this. But we're the individuals that make it up. So I thought about hope. I said, hope is not just something that's just out there. You have to work at this. To have hope, to know that we're going to make it to the end, we got to put a lot of this in here, and we got to not fight the process. We got to be able to know that wherever the Father places us, that's why I'm so excited about your testimony. Different people moving here. You're moving here not because this is some great place to be. You're moving here because the Father's doing something by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's what's doing. That's a drawing. And the Holy Spirit does these things. Now, here's the thing. Like she said, I appreciate the honesty. This is not the best place in the world to move to. She lived in Florida. She lived in Destin. Somebody can say amen to that. I know. Y'all ain't going to sit there and... I'm just saying. I mean, we're going moving from Destin to Loosedale. Father, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? Did you blink? Did you sleep? Did something happen? Where am I going? Why could you not put a congregation or a group of people somewhere where it's nice? Where it's not hot and it's humid? Could you not put a, huh? Well, it's not, look, if it's going to be hot and humid, it'd be better hot and humid in Destin than in Loosedale. But I'm just saying. Or what about, why could we not be in Gatlinburg in the mountains? Can we get some amens back there? Yeah, amen. I'm just saying, amen. So, I mean, I'm right. I'm with you guys now. I'm like, man, we're gonna go on a journey. Let's park the Mishcon in Gatlinburg. Amen. Where we can enjoy the weather, the rapids, and hopefully somebody don't set it on fire. But I got to thinking about this. For us to have hope, we have our portion to do and to be in this. Douglas talked last week in Exodus 14. I'm going to read through this pretty quick. Exodus 14, 12 through 18. Because I thought this was really funny. I guess, you know, we can get a little comical out of this. Verse 11, it says, what's the first word in verse 11 in your scriptures? They. They, is they singular or is they plural? Okay, think about they as being plural. They said to Moses, all of them, they said to Moses, it is because there are no graves in Egypt, Douglas read this last week, that you have taken us out to die in the wilderness. What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? All bound together, but you know what? They're not operating like this yet. They're all individual, not wrapped around any cord. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, or see today, you shall never see again. Yahweh will fight for you. Now, remember, I first read Proverbs, where there's no vision, the people perish. They did not have a vision when they come out. Moses is now trying to give them one really quick. Okay, he's doing some cheerleading right here. He's trying to give them a vision and so they can be focused on the journey of where they're supposed to go. He said, but guess what? What do you have to do? All you got to do is sit down, shut up, and listen. That's what he's saying. All you have to do is just be silent. Then Yahweh said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people to do what? Go forward. Lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. Now, you got to understand this. I've ministered this many, many years. Yahweh doesn't just work on me. He don't just work on you. He works on a lot of people at the same time. Everybody in this room, he's not working on just you. He's working on your family members. He's working on your coworkers. He's working on people that you don't even know he's working on. He's working on the truck drivers that deliver stuff to your business. I'm going to prove this to you in just a minute. It's not, even though you think our world is falling apart, and the us right here, if we put our place in Israel's, the us right here, man, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? Man, we had it good. We was enslaved. We was being beaten. We was making bricks. We had life good. Now think about where they came from. But yet they're saying, why are you bringing us out here to die? You could have left us in there to die. But they're going to make a statement here. They're going to lie in a minute. But Yahweh is working on a lot of people at the same time. In 17, in the middle of it, it says, I will get glory. Yahweh said all of these things is going to happen so that he will get glory. I will get glory over Pharaoh and all of his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh, even when I have gotten the glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. So there's something here that's happening. The Father, look, they've already had 10 plagues, right? I mean, plagues has already happened. They've already been delivered. They gave them everything. They said, man, would you just please go? Go, not only go worship, go and don't ever come back. We don't even want to see you people again. So they've had all of that happen, and then all of a sudden, Pharaoh, his heart is hardened again by the Father, and he's coming after them to kill them, and they're all in panic. And you would think after all of that, it was like, you would think, really, truly more, you would just think that at this moment, you know, Doug, when you was talking about this last week, and it's so profound, doubt. I mean, this is where we live. We live between doubt and doubter. It's like dumb and dumber. You know, we just get that way. We just go between dumb and dumber. That's just what, because why did I say that is this. After all of that, Brian, after all that they've done, the Israelites should have said, you know what? Let's pull up a chair. This is going to be good. Pharaoh didn't learn back then, and he's coming after us out here. This is going to be good. We got front row seats of the theater of what Father's fixing to do. But that ain't what they did. They're crying out, us is crying out, woe is me. I would have been better off dying there than dying here. No hope. No hope, no vision. Because they didn't have what? They didn't have a vision. They left out of that. The Father tried to give them vision, but they wouldn't do what? They wouldn't listen. They wasn't listening. As he was destroying the gods of Egypt, they wasn't paying attention. They was enjoying the show. Even though they were part of the show, but guess what? At the last part of all of the plagues, they were sitting back enjoying it in Goshen. Yahweh was pounding them. Oh, this is good. But now all of a sudden, you're back part of the script, take three or whatever it is, and now they're all panicking. But the Father's doing something here. He allowed this to happen for a reason. Now let's go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. 2, verse 1. Now, I thought this was very comedic also. Now, you know in the book of Joshua, they've already been through the wilderness for over 40 years, right? Remember how many spies went to spy out the land the first time? 12. One for each one of the tribes. Is that correct? I thought this was funny. Who were the two that came back with a good report? Joshua and Caleb. Look what happens here in verse 1. And Joshua, who happened to be one of those, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly to Shittim as spies. I think he probably learned, I ain't sending 12. I don't want to have to spend 40 more years. I'll send two. Maybe the two will come back. And if one comes back negative, we'll just bump him off and then it'll be, you know. I thought it was funny. Two comes out, so he's only going to send two. He ain't sending 12. He ain't taking that chance. It just hit me like that. Joshua, who knew, who pleaded with the people, and he didn't win the argument. I'm sending two men secretly to Shittim as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and they came into the house of a very godly woman whose name was Rahab, and he lodged there. That isn't what it says, is it? It says that these people, they ended up coming into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and they lodged there. If we ever send out people on a missionary trip, don't go to those houses and lodge there. Amen. But they end up there, but that's part of the story. And it says, and it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, the men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. So what the king said, what's two men going to do? But it said, then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you and entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to close at dark, the men went out, and I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly that you might overtake them. And somebody, I said this one time, and somebody made this statement. They said, I can't believe she lied. I said, she's a prostitute. I said, which is worse, a little lie or a prostitute? One's a death sentence and one ain't quite a death sentence. I said, you're gonna tear up the story because she lied? Work with me a little bit, okay? A little bit. She's a prostitute, okay? It's in the scripture. I'm like, please, work with me a little bit. You're going to worry about the woman lied to the king. I said, oh, goodness. Help me, Lord. So anyway, she just told them a lie. Bless her pea-picking heart. It says, but she had brought them up to the roof, and she hid them with the stalks of flax where she had laid in order on the roof. It says, so the men pursued after them, talking about the other ones, on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. So she sent them on what we call a wild goose chase. Amen? A wild goose chase. She sent the law in the wrong direction, what she did. Verse 8. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said, now, I thought this was very interesting because she said something. Look what she said. I know that Yahweh has given this land to you. I'm like, how in the world does she know that? She's a prostitute. I'm sure she didn't learn that in Sunday school class. What Bible convention did Rahab go to? What prophecy conference did she go to know that Yahweh was going to give the land to them? Think about what she just said. We know. I know that Yahweh is going to give this land to you. Did she go up there where Bill and Brad and Perry Stone and all of them were at? I mean, think about it. How did she know? Think about it. So she makes that statement, and there was something else. Matthew 21:31 comes to my mind. What did Yeshua tell the Pharisees and Sadducees? The tax collectors and the what? Prostitutes will enter the kingdom before you. I thought, man, what discernment is going on with a person who I guarantee you none of us would get around. And if you're a male and you're around there, your wife will kill you. Okay? I'm just saying. So if there's around, the male better not be around. So I'm saying, but here's an individual. I'm just trying to paint this picture to you of who this lady is. But yet she says, I know that Yahweh has given this land to you and that the fear of you has fallen on all of us. What? How in the world? How do you know what's going on? How do you even know us? How do you even know who we are? We've been in captivity for hundreds of years. We're coming out. We messed up. We've been wandering around like lost puppies for 40 because of disobedience. How do you know us? But yet the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. Guys, I'm telling you something. She's telling you that everybody in this place's hearts melt. In other words, that is beyond fear factor. This is how she knows. And this is why Yahweh did what he did for Israel. He says, for we have heard how Yahweh dried up the water of the Red Sea before you. Yahweh's glory didn't stay at the Red Sea. Yahweh's glory went out all over the nations. And the nations heard about Yahweh and what he did for his people. Proclaim the name. Proclaim it. You see what happens? Guys, you being here on Shabbat, you ain't got a twerk, cluck, or cock-a-doodle-doo. The Father tells you if you're obeying his ways, people will know because the very scripture will hit them when they read it, and they will be enlightened, and they'll say, I think now maybe I know what that cult's doing up there. You know what I'm saying? I'm wondering what's going on. Y'all look like y'all having a good time, but I can't stay all day. The thing is just, you know, it's honoring Shabbat. But she's saying, because this is what the Father was doing, the Father was saying, my glory is going to go out all over the land, not just in a little bitty place. It says, for we have heard that Yahweh had dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites when you were beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For Yahweh your Elohim, look what she says. For Yahweh your Elohim, he is who? He is Elohim. He is. And what is he Elohim of? Heaven above and the earth beneath. She went from a prostitute to a preacher. Because she's preaching. Amen. She's preaching. She's recognizing the Elohim that you serve is the one that's over heaven and earth. It's not all of these little bitty statues that we got around we throw a little coin in. You know what I'm saying? She's recognizing and she's preaching. She's got revelation here. I see exactly what Matthew 21 was saying. People were getting a revelation of who was the Elohim of heaven and earth and who the Messiah was. It says, now then, please swear to me by Yahweh that I have dealt kindly with you, and you also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign. Now she's asking for a sure sign. What is she asking for? Hope. She's asking for hope. I need something from you. I need hope that we're not going to be destroyed. I need hope, not only that I want, but my father, my mama, my mama's daddy, all the people, the sisters, the brothers, the whole clan, everybody that I can get in my room. I need a sign because I need hope. What? That you will save alive my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister, and all who belong to them and deliver our lives from what? Death. I need some hope. Because of what's going on here and because of who you are, we have no hope. I have no hope and my family has no hope in the way we are right now. Because you know what? I could run to the next city, but guess what? You're going there next. There's no way because the Father has given what? She didn't say just Jericho. The Father's given this land to you. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to run. This is how awesome. She realized, she recognized it. So she says, you know what? I need salvation. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need to be right here where I'm at. You need to help me in the position how I am. You found me this way, save me just like this. And this is what he's doing. And then the men said to her, our lives for yours, even to death. Is that not what Yeshua said? My life for your life, even to death. You can see Yeshua all through this thing. For you did not tell this business of ours, then Yahweh gives us this land. We will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Look what it says next, verse 15. Then she did something. Then she let him down by what? A rope. We have a rope in the story. A rope. She needs hope, and she gives them a rope. I said, wow. I said, isn't it amazing? It's a cord. She gave them a cord. So she let them down by rope through the window, for her house was built in the city wall so that she lived. Where does it say that she lived? I'm going to take a little side thing here. We always sang a song, and the walls, plural of Jericho, all the walls couldn't have come down. My personal opinion, a wall came down. That's what it said, a wall came. She lived, her and her family, they lived in the wall. If all the walls would have come down, and I heard somebody else say one time, because I asked that question, they said, well, then all the walls came down but her apartment. It's just freestanding. I'm like, work with me a little bit, you know? I mean, think about it. Anybody with a military mindset, you got people inside a fortified city is fortified with walls, correct? All you military men, work with me just a second. They're marching around the city. Finally, the wall falls down. It crumbles down. The other three walls are standing. Where are they going to run to? You're standing right in the middle. They have nowhere to go. They can't escape. You talk about a general. But if you throw all the walls down, they're going to, you kicked an ant bed. They're going to take out all different directions. But if the wall comes down, they're all hemmed in. The Father, I mean, you talking about a good general, he knows what he's doing. He killed Pharaoh and them. He knows how to orchestrate a battle. Because they lived in the wall. Verse 16, it says, and she said to them, go into the hills, for the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there how many days? Oh, heavenly days. 3 days. Yeshua had to lay in the grave 3 days and three nights. Okay, we just move forward. Let's go down to verse 18 because of time. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie, and it just happened to be what color? Scarlet. Work with me a little bit. A scarlet cord. I'll give you a sign. a scarlet cord. She didn't say rope no more. Our very hope is in the blood. Our very hope is in what Yeshua did at Calvary. The only way that we're going to escape anything is if we have this scarlet cord around us by the Spirit. She said, tie this scarlet cord in the window through which I will let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and your mother, your brothers, and your father's household. Look what it says next. When they were at Passover, whenever they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel in the threshold, what did he tell them? Don't go outside. It says, then if anyone goes out of these doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head. Same thing that they were told at Passover. Protection is inside the house. You go outside the house. If we're outside Yahweh's house, our blood is on our own head. Boy, you can see the Spirit all through this thing. And we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid upon anyone who is with you in this house, his blood shall be on our head. And you know what? We stay in the house. The blood was on Yeshua. And that's what redeemed us and brought us into this house. Verse 21, and he said, according to your word, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied a scarlet cord in the window. Because you know what? That scarlet cord was the sign, and it became her what? It became her hope that when they finally came, they were going to be saved. That's our hope today. That when he returns at the Sukkot season, when he returns, if we have that scarlet cord in our life, we will be saved till the end. That's our hope, is the hope of the resurrection, if we have that. Amen? I hear the little one, amen. What I want to do is this. I'm going to get Dirt and Caitlin, Mark and Kelly, Joshua and Tammy. Y'all can come on up here. All right, what I want to do is I want Kelly and Tammy and Caitlin and Dirt and then us other three. Let's get up here pretty close. Y'all, I'll stand like this, stand across. All right, now look. Y'all know Red Rover. Y'all know what y'all used to do. Okay, y'all assume your positions. Okay. Now, this is the team up here. Now, I will tell you this. My wife, I just want to say this about her. Spiritual-minded, things of Torah, she's about as, like her dad, strongest that I've ever known. Physical strength, she's as weak as palm water. I got her a 5-pound weight, cut it in half, she does 2.5s. And she gets after it. I'm just saying, I got my back to her in case she's making faces. But I'm just telling you, if you was playing Red Rover and all of that, and you was coming on over, where are you going? Right between. Let me tell you what, I know you won't go right here, which is Caitlin, because the closer you get, the meaner that look gets. I know. And Miss Kelly, she just hopes you're just not looking. So she just going, you're going probably right here, and you're going to bust through is what you're going to do. And I promise you, if you bust through in the game, you're not going to call Tammy on over. You're going to call probably Joshua or Dirt or Mark. You see what I'm saying? So in this. That's right. She's strong in the spirit, but she's still weak as palm water. That's just the way it is, okay? So now, since this is our team, we're going to have to fix this. Okay, so I need, Josh, I need you on this end by your mom. Tammy, I need y'all just slide down. Okay, I'm going to let you get on that side right now. All right, you hop over. You get on the other side because I'm going to jump in this because we're going to do something else. All right, now, hold on a second. I know we're missing Courtney, but we had to get 4 guys and 3 girls. Now, here's the thing. Now, I jumped in here because I'm old. So I got weakness and old. So here's the thing. The thing is this. What we try to do is the part of the rope, the part of the cord about binding together. You put strengths with strengths. And the thing about it is, Mark made a very good analogy. How many people in this place are right-handed? Raise your hand if you're right-handed. Don't raise my hand. Right-handed. How many people are left-handed? All right, let's see. One, two. What, maybe, how many do you think? About 20 versus the rest? So the thing about it is usually because of most people are right-handed, up here, you know, this would be my strongest hand is Caitlin's weakest. So I'm holding where she's weaker, but I'm holding here. Tammy's holding my part, and just Lord help us. Maybe I ought to put her at the end where she ain't going to hold her. No, I'm just playing. But the thing about it is, it's really and truly, when you think about it, he made that observation about right hand. If she's weaker here, I can help here. And in the right, so we can help one another. This is why I wanted us all up here, because the thing about it is every one of us up here, we have spiritual strengths. But some of us have physical strengths. Some of us have better emotional strengths. Just the way it is. But all of us working together, like Yeshua is the cord in the middle of all of us, threads wrapped around it.
Amen.
If we can learn, and guess what happens? And I want to show you this. I was going to do something different, but we're going to stay like this. Here's the deal. When you think the wolf is come to you to where you think that this won't work, Eddie, would you do that slide next? The next slide. Whenever the wolf looks at the lamb, look who's got our back. So the thing about it is we can stand right here. We don't know what's behind us. But I can tell you, if we're right, he's got our back. And I can promise you one thing, that lamb's not worried. Wolf don't know what's on his neck. That's right. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Amen. I appreciate it. So just know, guys, bigger than your enemy is your Redeemer. Bigger than your enemy is your Redeemer. And the thing about it is this, that's our hope. That's our hope even when we don't see. But believe me, prayer, faith will bring the line all the time. Amen? Amen. Well, hallelujah. Amen. I want to close in prayer. But remember this, guys. Doug, like I said, this ought to erase doubt. This ought to erase doubt right here. If you can't focus and get it, just know this. Bigger than your enemy is our Redeemer, Yeshua. Amen. Well, I hope and pray that in all of what we're learning through the Torah and all that we're learning through these times and seasons, learning also that really and truly now you can see more and more the ten commandments, the first four being our relationship between us and the Father and the other six between us and ourselves. And you can definitely see where we as individuals, we do need each other. And the thing about it is next time you see ropes, you see thread, all of that, if you want to play with some, try to pull it apart. You'll see that there's a lot more in there than just one. But you know what? But when it's so twisted together, Pete, it looks like one. You never think of a rope not being just cables that on cranes. I know me and John Blackmer, you know, when we would run those, unspool those cables and all of that, the core in there. But guess what? If you've not ever worked on that, you got to know that your core is strong. Because guess what? You can't see the core. You have to have faith enough to know that the core is good. And that's a lot of times when we had to do all of those inspecting of those crane cables because you can't see it. It could be rusty on the outside, but as long as that core was strong, you were good. So know that Yeshua is our core, and if we will do our part, he will always do his part. Let's pray.
Father, we just come to you, and I just pray, Father, that we would always remember that our hope is in you. But hope is just not me by myself. Hope is all of us together, twisted together to make something. Father, you have placed us in this world to praise you, to honor you, to worship you, but to definitely to do something. Father, that doing something is helping those that are in need. Helping those, you know, even if they're believers, Father. Sometimes in our lives, we grow weary. And we need one another to stand in strength. And Father, even when the enemy tries to come, Father, we do the best that we know how to do. And we know that you're going to show up over our shoulder. So Father, I just pray that today on this Shabbat, as we're still in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Father, that you will continue to work in our lives, grow us. Father, I remember maybe years ago when we started out, we didn't know what we were doing. And today we just know just a little bit more than what we still got so much ground to make up and so far to go. But we know that now that we can enjoy the journey. Before now, Father, we have the vision. We have a roadmap. Your Torah gives us that roadmap to where we know where we're headed. And Father, in this journey, when the children of Israel came out and they were panicking, Father, that was written down for a lot of different reasons, but one of them was to show us that we don't have to panic. That you did all of the preparation to bring us out. You have prepared us to bring us in. So, Father, we rest in that today, and we thank you, Father, for the journey. We praise you for the journey, because we know you did not take us out this far to bring us back again. And we thank you, Father, for being our Redeemer in Yeshua's name. Amen. All women and men shall sit in the streets, each one with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city, and joy will be heard once again.